If you do not make this law, you are allowing a future civil war that will claim untold thousands of your citizens. These are lives, Larda, Radu said. How can you speak of them like they are matters of simple mathematics? A problem to be solved. Larda stood, a hand to her side against the pain of her wound. Because thinking like that is the only way to keep from losing our minds. What about our souls? Mehmed whispered. Before Larda walked out, she paused at the door. Souls and thrones are irreconcilable. That evening she sat next to Bogdan. They were alone in the palace barracks mess hall. She had not spoken with or even seen him since the assassination attempt. This was the first time she had felt up to joining her men for a meal, but most of them were on duty. Mehmed trusted them more than ever, and they were all in heavy rotation. How are you? Bogdan asked. Larda gave him a flat look, wishing she was strong enough to physically punish him for asking such a stupid question. I was stabbed and beaten by a trusted mentor a week ago. He matched her expression with a similar one. I was there. She wondered if he had been scared, if he had been angry that she might die so soon after they were reunited. But his face betrayed nothing. Amen, how is it being in mourning? Bogdan was a fool if he thought she was mourning the death of Mehmed's half-brother. She was not happy that the boy had been killed, but she could not pretend to oppose Huma's rationale. It would be hypocrisy to dress in sackcloth and ashes. Disrespectful, even. Is it common knowledge, then? She asked. Radu had sent her a note that Mehmed was going to make the fratricide decree, but she had thought it would be tomorrow. She had also been hurt that Mehmed had not asked for her advice on what to say. She wondered how long it would take him to forgive her for everything that had transpired. The fear that perhaps he would not be able to nagged at her. Where would she be then? Bogdan shrugged. Petru told me. Larda frowned. Petru was not on duty today. How did he hear about Ahmet? Who is Ahmet? Mehmed's half-brother. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Your father! Bogdan stopped, his jaw tightening. They did not tell you. Larda knew she was looking at Bogdan's face, but she could not see it. She could not see anything. My father is dead. I am sorry. Petru thought you knew. Hunyadi and the boyars killed your father. Machia, too. Larda nodded, her head bobbing up and down of its own volition. A roar filled her ears, a roar like the wind rushing along the banks of the Arjesh River, tearing at a tree growing sideways out of the rock. When? Petru overheard Mehmed and Radu a week ago, right before the revolt. A week? Her hand darted to the pouch around her neck, but it was gone. She had not realized it, had not felt for it since she fought Elias. It was gone. 52. All Radu wanted to do was sleep, but the knocking would not cease. He stumbled to the door and yanked it open, ready to yell at whoever was there. The ghost of his sister stood in the doorway. Her eyes were large and vacant, her face as smooth as a fading memory. Our father is dead, Larda said. Radu leaned heavily against the doorframe. Larda drifted in past him. He shut the door, closing them in. Why did you keep this from me? Radu was glad it was dark, so he could not see her face. I did not know how to tell you. He reached for her hand. It felt cold and tiny in his own. I am sorry. I know you loved him. I did not love him. I worshipped him, and then he betrayed us by being human, so worthlessly, weakly human. He left us here with nothing and made it impossible for us to return home. He terrified me. Larda laughed sharply. Little brother, everyone terrified you. That is true. Machir is dead too. Yes. Radu thought of the raw grief Mahmed had been consumed by after the murder of his infant half-brother. Radu felt nothing like that when he thought of Machia's death. Perhaps that meant something was wrong with him. He wondered if Lada mourned Machia. He did not ask. Lada spoke. Do you remember that summer, when father took us out of the city? Yes. I was bitten by so many bugs I could scarcely move. I thought he would see me. I thought if we left Turgo Viste, if we left stupid Machia, if we left behind the boyars and their ceaseless bickering, he would see what I was becoming to please him. For one day I thought he did. It was the happiest day of my life. And then he left, as he always did. He loved you. You sound so certain. How do you know? Because he tried to save you. That day the Sultan claimed us. He failed, but he tried. That was more than he did for me. After a brief silence, Lada let out a harsh bray of laughter. I keep thinking how angry Machia must be to be dead. I had the same thought. They laughed, and then it was quiet for a few warm minutes, safe and dark with their childhood between them. The things they had had and the things they had lost that only they could ever understand. I have something for you. Radu reached into a box on his side table and pulled out a locket. That night, when the physician was sewing you back together, I found your little pouch, the one you always wear around your neck. It was ruined, but, well, I saved what was inside and had this made for you. He held out the necklace. The metal locket was heavy and cold in his hand. With a sniffling gasp, Lada lowered the chain around her neck and clutched the locket to her chest. Thank you. I have lost too much recently. She rested her head against his shoulder. Radu knew some of what she lost had been solely to protect him, as she had always done, in her own way. He breathed out a sigh and steadied himself to tell her he was sorry, that he loved her, that he understood her. The throne is yours, Lada said, puncturing the space and bringing the night with all its dark terrors back down on Radu. No. It is, her voice rose, excitement kindling there and growing toward a fire as only Lada could burn with. Nothing holds us here now. We are beholden to none, ransom against nothing. You could claim the prince title. Mehmed will support you. He will be glad of it. We could go back to Wallachia, together, strong, and no one could tell us, no, Lada. No. I do not want to go back. But it is our home. Radu shook his head, rising to sit on the edge of his bed. My home is here. You mean Mahmed is here? There was no accusation in her voice, but the way she said it stung Radu. Yes. He did not pretend it was otherwise, but he could not explain to her the other reasons. The mosques, with their domed towers, making him feel insignificant in the most comforting way, praying in perfect union with his brothers around him, having a place, a life, a position where he was valued. And yes, doing it all by Mahmed's side, even if it would never be as much as Radu needed. As though following his train of thought, Lada said, He can never love you, not the way you love him. Radu laughed, but it sounded old and brittle. Do you think I do not know that? And still this is better than what we can ever hope for in Wallachia. How can you not see that? You have him, Lada. You have his heart, and his eyes, and his soul. I have seen the way you wait for him to look at you, the way you relish his attentions. You pretend you do not love him, but you cannot lie to me. He paused, then unable to stop himself, he slipped into a goading tone. No one will ever love you as he does, as an equal. And you know it. You will not leave that. You cannot. She stiffened, Radu saw her fingers curl into fists, ready for a fight. I can. I have already started. He will never forgive me for admitting my betrayal. Radu was reminded of her beating the Boya sons in the forest outside Turgo Viste. Those same fists had always defied everything expected of her. Now he had made her love of Mahmed a challenge to be overcome. His heart sank as he realized that by taunting her that she could not leave, he had virtually guaranteed she would do exactly that. Maybe he had known that all along. Come with me, she commanded. I will not go home without you. She waited, then shocked Radu with her desperate, soft tone. You chose me. He had, and Lada had not asked him for something like this in so long. She was his sister, and she was begging him to choose her again. But maybe if Lada left, Mahmed would finally choose him. I am home, Lada. Radu lay back and turned on his side, away from her. 53. Though Lada did not know what would happen, she was certain of two things. It would hurt, and she would need to be strong. She dressed in chainmail and the Yanacheri uniform, except for the cap. She left her hair down, a tangled mass of curls in defiance of both Yanacheri custom and feminine styles. At her hip was her sword, and on her wrists were her knives. Her spine was steel, her heart was armor, her eyes were fire. At her side were Bogdan and Nikolai, Bogdan to remind her of what she had left behind and could find again. Nikolai to remind her that she could lead and men would follow. Mehmed looked up in surprise when Lada entered the reception room. He sat behind a table, robed in purple, perfectly in place in his gilded chair. His official stool holder crouched nearby, waiting. Behind Mahmed, Radu avoided Lada's eyes. Unable to account for her appearance, Mahmed's eyebrows rose in a question. Leave us, he said, and the attendants scattered and disappeared. Lada planted her feet, rooting herself. Make Radu Prince of Valahia. Radu shook his head, turning toward the window away from her. Mahmed's expression fell, then turned deliberately neutral. How long had he known about her father and kept the information from her? And why? But she would not ask those questions. They made her look weak. She was here to demand, not question. Why would I do that? Mahmed asked. Because you need as much stability as you can get before you go after Constantinople. You have had enough problems with Valahia allying with Hungary, Transylvania, and Moldavia. Make Radu the prince, and you will guarantee no treaty with Valahia will be broken. Mahmed leaned back and stretched, long and feline. He does not want to take the position of Vaivode. There is another way to strengthen the alliance with Valahia. No. Lada had been hoping Mahmed was not in contact with the Dinesh family. If they had already agreed to work with him, her position would be irreparably weakened. You cannot trust the Dinesh Boyas. The Dinesh line? No, I am going to ally myself with the Draculesht family. Lada bit back a growl of frustration. With Machir dead, that leaves only Radu to take the throne. He is not the only Draculesht. Mehmed's mouth curled around a smile, fighting to break free. And thrones are not the only way to secure alliances. What? Understanding slammed into her, stealing her breath. No. Mahmed stood, walking around the table to stand in front of her. He cupped her chin, lifting her face to his. Marry me, Lada. It is the perfect solution. Lada laughed. Mahmed's smile grew until he realized her laugh was not a sweet breeze of delight, but a brutal desert wind carrying stinging sand in its wake. I will never marry. Why? Stand at my side. Rule my empire with me. I want no part of the Ottoman Empire. Anger flashing in his black eyes, Mahmed let go of her chin. Why do you hate my country so? Have you not been happy here? Do you know me at all? I have never been happy anywhere except Valahia. His face darkened, and he jabbed a finger at her. You have been happy with me. She realized, finally, that she had been less selfless than she thought when taking the full blame and sparing Radu. On some unconscious level, she had hoped that Mahmed would be unable to forgive her, that she would not have to make the choice to leave him, but that the choice would be made for her. Love was a weakness, a trap. She had learned that from her father her first day in Adirna. But somehow she had failed to keep herself free. Mahmed and Radu stood before her, snaring her, keeping her here. And even knowing it, she recoiled at the thought of losing them. Lada made her face stone, her heart a mountain that would never be pierced to let cold, clear water flow. Nothing holds me here. Mahmed closed his eyes, rearranging his features from rage and hurt to supplication. He had so much control now, so much skill in using emotion as a tool. How they had all grown. You have saved my life 3 times. I would be dead without you. I need you. Give up Constantinople. What? Lada lifted her shoulders impassively. Your mindless determination to take Constantinople is what threatens your life. You have no claim to the city, no right to it, no reason to fixate on it. Give it up, and your enemies will stop trying to kill you. You know I cannot. He clasped his hands behind his back, pacing the length of the room. It calls to me, taunts me. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said it would be ours, and I must be the Sultan to see his words fulfilled. As my people were made for greater things than traveling deserts on horses, so am I made for bigger things than maintaining a stagnant, dismissed empire. We will be the jewel of the world, the envy of all Europe, the new Rome. I will be the one to make it that way. I have to show the world what my people are. This is my calling. I cannot turn my back on it. Lada nodded, lids half closed, heavy with the weight of the future. We understand each other completely. I cannot give up, Valahia. I cannot turn my back on my home for what scraps may fall to me from another master's table. I did not choose to come here, Mahmed. I was held against my will. But now I am asking you. Choose to stay. Choose me. And be left behind when you go crusading. You would not take me to Albania. You will not take me to Constantinople. I will hate you for it. And the poison between us will grow until I turn into one of your invisible wives, as captive as your father ever made me. If you try to keep me, I will hate you, and you will lose me forever. You already know you cannot rule me. I proved that the last time you were on the throne. Anguish and anger warred on Mahmed's face as he stopped in front of Lada and grasped her shoulders. What would you have me do? And, in that moment, Lada saw her future. Her past was filled with snatching what thread she could from the men around her. Her father, Ilyas Bey, Mahmed. But before her was a knife. She would cut them all. She did not have to accept only what was offered to her. She would take what should be hers. What had always been hers lit on her face like the sun on the mountain peak so many summers ago. I want Valahia. What? Make me Vivode. Mahmed frowned. But that is the title for a prince. Make me prince, then. You know I am capable. Send me with my Yanacheri troops, Give me the backing of the Empire. Mahmed raised a hand dismissively, but he sounded unsure.
They will never accept you.
I will make them. She waited for another dismissal, but none came. So she pressed her advantage. Send me as prince, as a gesture of peace. No one will see it as a show of strength or aggression. They will see that you want stability, not conquest. I will deliver treaties to Hunyadi, to everyone who has opposed you. I will spread news of peaceful Mahmed, who wants only what he already has and nothing more. And you will be free to focus on Constantinople.
Mahmed's voice was soft, tortured. He did not turn to face her.
But I will lose you. Though she had always known returning home would mean leaving Mahmed, until that moment she had never considered the reality of it. It was not fleeing or being forced away. It was choosing to lose him. It felt impossible. Radu finally met her gaze, and she silently implored him, holding out a hand. She could not, would not lose both of them. He shook his head. Huma's words from all those years ago slipped beneath her armor, piercing her heart. What must be sacrificed to secure a future where no one can touch you? Lada knew now exactly how much she had to lose, because she was about to cut out her heart and leave it. The two men, the only two people who had been constants in her life, would be left behind. Radu and Mahmed had both given her something she could not give herself, had seen her in a way no one else had, and no one else ever would. They looked at her, ugly Lada, vicious Lada, and saw something precious. And she looked at them and saw Radu, her brother, her blood, her responsibility, and Mahmed, her equal, the only man great enough to be worthy of her love. One future, bleak and unknowable, filled with violence and pain and struggle, unfurled before her. Another, with her brother and the man who knew her and still loved her, shone like a beacon. And so, she cut out her heart and offered it as a sacrifice. She would pay whatever price her mother Valahia demanded. Make me prince, she said, without feeling. 54. After she was gone, Radu held Mahmed as he wept. Radu's joy at cradling Mahmed was like a kick to the stomach, overpowering and destined to linger with bruises long after it was over. Never leave me. Mahmed's grief-choked voice still rang with command. Radu closed his eyes. I will never leave you. Mahmed was in his arms, but he knew Lada was the only thing in Mahmed's heart. Radu had thought his own heart was filled with nothing but Mahmed, but he now had an aching fissure, the portion Lada left bereft when she abandoned him once and for all. He had said this was his home. He had told the truth. And he had lied, because Lada was his home too, and now she was gone. The call to prayer drifted through the walls, and the two men fell to their knees. Radu released everything to God, his pain, his fear, his loss, his secrets, his vast, unfathomable loneliness. When they had finished praying, Mahmed was calm. His face was as hard as the sword of his ancestors. Radu followed him onto the balcony, where he gazed intensely into the darkness beyond the city. Mahmed was looking north, where Lada and her men traveled to claim Valachia. Radu put a hand on his shoulder. Mahmed needed focus to move past the pain. Radu gently turned them both to look east, toward Constantinople. 55. Valachian border.
The storm clouds that had accompanied their long march finally broke. After the dark dynamics and constantly shifting palette of the clouds, the flat blue of the sky looked false somehow. A promise worth less than the papers and treaties Larda carried in her bags. They gazed across a wide, frosted plain to the mountains threatening the countryside. Valachia, Nikolai's voice was filled with wonder, all teasing gone.
Home, Bogdan grunted.
Stefan, Petru, Matei, the rest of her men, her men, joined them, staring at their past. It had become their future. Larda had made it that way. Nikolai got past his reverence, grinning at her.
Well, are you ready, Larda Dragula, daughter of the dragon?
Fire burned in her heart, and her wounded soul spread out, casting a shadow like wings across her country. This was hers, not because of her father, not because of Mahmed, because the land itself had claimed her as its own.
Not Dragula, she said. Larda Dracul. I am no longer the daughter of the dragon.
She lifted her chin, sights set on the horizon.
I am the dragon.
This is Fiona Hardingham. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of And I Darken by Kirsten White. This program was directed by Danny Campbell. Executive producer, Kelly Gilday. Text copyright, 2016, by Kirsten Brazier. Production copyright, 2016, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.